Hi, I'm Levi Koons, and welcome to the Hunting Game Podcast. If you're anything like me, you live for the outdoors all year round. Join us as we discuss hunting, fishing, shooting, and really anything outdoors. It's definitely going to be a good time. Sit back and get ready, because here we go. All right, guys, and we're back. Episode 4, here we are. Episode 3 really kind of took off in the last few days, so I appreciate you guys for that. I want to start it out. Definitely get on Instagram. Check out Hunting Game Podcast on Instagram. Give us a like. Give us a follow. Check out our posts. I definitely post the most updates on there. And definitely that's the first place I post about when the next episode is coming and all that jazz. This episode on, my goal is to release every episode 5 a.m. on Friday, which means you've got no excuse to not listen on your way to work. I wish I could listen on my way to work, but once again, I've got a 2-minute commute, so there's that. I listen to podcasts while I'm working. I've stated it before, I used to like listening to music while I was working, but definitely have turned into more of a podcast listener. I've got a few podcasts, which probably shouldn't name on here, but I've got a few podcasts which I absolutely love. I'm trying to catch up on one. There's like 300 episodes. But the other one I definitely listen to every episode, so I'm definitely a podcast guy now. All right, well, this week I do not have another guest. It's been a little tough. Everybody I know has been really busy, and we're getting into the heart of deer season. We made it. The whole wait, oh my gosh, it's been a long year waiting. I feel like the last month has gone so slow. It's like a dove season got here. And I was like, all right, it's going to be no time. And I'm pretty sure it was like 6 months before bow season got here. Not really. It's only been a month, but it's been a long time coming. And man, I was so excited to get out there. My dad actually said to me on the way to the woods, he said, oh my gosh, it doesn't even feel right. It doesn't feel like we should be out here hunting deer. But we went out, we got out there. It's a little tough early in the year with all the trees, you know, all the leaves being on still and everything's thick. The understory is thick. It's a little bit tough to get in the stand and everything looks a little different. We're going to see some big changes soon. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I definitely noticed the trees changing. I got online to, I think it's the Smoky Mountain. I don't know, the Great Smoky Mountains or something like that. There's a website on the fall foliage map. And it looks like here in central Indiana, we're like a week or two out from full color this year. I'm excited for that. That's honestly, I used to say winter was my favorite time of year. And since I've been plowing a lot of snow, my love for winter has definitely decreased a little bit. I'm turning into more of a fall lover, which makes a lot of sense considering I'm such an avid deer hunter. Fall's where it's at. It's got to be my favorite time of year, you know. Now, I love the spring. I heard somebody else talk about it. And it's really awesome. If you think about it, as a Christian, it's a cool thing to see, you know, fall, winter, spring into summer. It's really like a yearly reenactment of the resurrection, you know. In fall, everything kind of dies. Everything, I mean, watching it happen is beautiful, which is kind of odd. But, you know, everything changes. You know, the crops come out. It's harvest time. All the plants are going brown. All the trees are starting to get crazy colors, and then everything dies. Everything kind of goes dormant for the winter. But in spring, there's a miracle where everything comes back to life. And I heard that said, and that's stuck with me ever since. I'm like, that is a real life reenactment and a real life reminder every year about the resurrection of Jesus. So I wanted to point that out first. That's one thing that gets me every time. And I've really become a more of a lover of the fall and spring, especially working outside. I work outside every day. Man, I'm sick and tired of the heat, and I'm really not as big of a fan as the cold as I used to be. I definitely like the cold better than I like the heat. I can't deny that one bit. The heat just tears me up, which some of you probably don't know. I'm a redhead. I'm a ginger, so the sun and me don't get along. I'm getting better. My sunscreen SPF has gone down significantly from what it was when I was a kid, so definitely saving on the budget, the sunscreen budget. But I'm so pumped. I haven't had to wear sunscreen for like 2 weeks now. I've been outside every day in the heat, and I've not had to wear sunscreen. That's a milestone. That means fall's here, boys. That means it's deer season. So I'm excited to not wear sunscreen anymore. It's not really that big of an inconvenience, especially since they've got, you know, the aerosol sunscreens now. But it's still an inconvenience. We get to a job every day and everybody hops out of the truck, starts, you know, getting unloaded, getting ready to go. And here I am for 10 minutes over there spraying on my sunscreen, protecting myself, keeping myself. If I don't wear sunscreen, it's not like I'm just a big wussy. If I don't wear my sunscreen, I will get fried to a crisp of like sun poisoning blisters all over me. It's a bad deal. So I'm thrilled to not have to deal with that anymore. I love being out in the sunshine. The sun does not love me. I mean, it's not a joking matter, really. It's a serious thing I got to deal with. It's a problem I have. There's my little tangent on the sunscreen today. Welcome to fall, everybody. All right, well, let's get into it. For those of us in Indiana, and I'm sure a few other states, last Saturday was opening weekend of deer season, and the weather was not that great. It was a pretty beautiful morning Saturday. We did get rained on a couple mild little showers, but good thing with the canopy still on the trees, we didn't get wet. We waited out a few little showers, and then we ended up getting out of there, I don't know, around 1, 2 o'clock, and then it started raining a little harder. So, which I've stated before, early season, I'm not huge into staying out there all day. I love to hunt all day, and I really wish I could hunt all day, every day, all season, but early in the year, I'm still mowing grass, and I've got a lot of things to do, so we tend to either do the morning hunt or the evening hunt, which I do love that morning sunrise. Watching the world wake up is so incredible. You know, everything comes to life. Nothing even knows you're there. That is a beautiful thing. But I also love watching the world go to sleep. That sunset out in the woods, it's peaceful. Everything starts getting quiet. If you guys have ever deer hunted, you know about that golden hour, that last hour. Which come later in October, we're like 2-3 weeks out from I'm not going to say the rut is here, but you know, 2-3 weeks out, that late October, things start firing up. And that golden hour is a very special time. I don't know. I'm really starting to lean towards that evening hunt. Up until, I don't know, for the past 7 or 8 years, I've worked a haunted corn maze in October. So we always did the morning hunt because I had to get back, get ready, and get over that corn maze. But fortunately for hunting, the corn maze is canceled this year, but unfortunately, in the given circumstances, it's kind of a sad deal that it's not happening. But prayers for Mike, if he's listening, you know, the health situations, I hope everything works out. Maybe the corn maze can get fired back up next year, but for this year, I think I'm going to take advantage of being able to do those evening hunts, so I'm excited for that. I didn't see anything Saturday. Neither one, my dad or myself, neither one of us saw anything, but that's all right. It was good to get out there. We tried some new stands out, had some new places we put stands, and we really wanted to try them out, just see how they were before we got into the, you know, the late October. We usually keep 2 stands. I've hunted the same stand on opening weekend of gun for my entire life. I've never missed an opening day of gun from my stand. I did have to move it a little bit. The tree it was in, it was in a really good tree, but the way the property owner had the place logged a few years ago, and it's grown up so much that tree's just kind of worthless. So we moved down about 75 yards. I got that thing in a big old beech tree, and so I have a good cover all year. I'm excited to hunt it. So anyways, we hunted those stands the first weekend so we could leave them alone for the rest of the year. We just kind of want to make sure we had everything set good and, you know, the view was good and all that stuff. It ought to work out. I'm excited about it, but I am going to leave that stand alone. It turns out it's not a great bow stand. I think the deer are going to sneak in on me and not be able to get a good bow shot, or I'm going to have to let them go way past me before I take a shot. And I don't know if my nerves can handle that. We'll leave that one alone. Actually, I think it's a good thing. I might sneak over and put a trail cam on it next weekend if we get down there, but which we got a wedding Saturday. This coming Saturday, so maybe get a morning hunt sneaked in, but snuck in. Sneaked in? Snuck in? I think it's snuck in. I don't know. I'm not going to be a grammar police right now. We did not get to go out Sunday. We both talked about it, me and my dad, and they pretty much predicted a complete washout all day. So we're like, hey, you know, let's not worry about it. We'll get an evening hunt in, especially the rain's supposed to move out. We'll get an evening hunt, so wake up Sunday morning, not early enough to go deer hunting. and the rain has dove south of us. Yeah, we definitely got a morning hunt in, but that's all right. And then, so we planned on doing an evening hunt, and that didn't happen either, because guess what? The rain moved in. Sounds like the rain just moved in right now. Man, it's pouring out there. Hold on just a second. Well, sorry for that little delay. All of a sudden, it decided to drop a torrential downpour on us, and my podcast room happens to be in my office inside of my metal barn, and as you can probably hear, it's still raining, but my goodness, that was a downpour all of a sudden. I started hearing in my headphones this like buzzing sound. I thought my air conditioner kicked on, but turns out it's just the good Lord giving us a little drink. Anyways, I didn't get out there Sunday. It was, like I said, it came right in the evening, and just, I don't know, we didn't make it happen. It's early season. I'm not too upset about it, but I do like to get every minute in the stand that I can. Well, without further ado, that's the little touch-up of the weekend. Nothing too exciting. I got to see a whole bunch of squirrels. A load of squirrels. I saw tons of them. But the views were good. Mainly hunting trails on our property now with a lot of the logging going on. But we're going to make do. I've got some new stands this year that I'm absolutely pumped to get in. We've got another property we're going to try to go to next weekend. Get on some crop field edges. The main property we hunt is just absolutely, just, it's the big woods. We're out in near Hoosier National Forest in Indiana, and there's nothing for miles. I mean, there is not a crop field anywhere within 20-minute drive, which is cool. It's cool to get out there and get secluded, but it's definitely a different style of hunting. It's how I learned to hunt, really, which I think has made me a better hunter. Really focus on learning the deer, getting in their head, and trying to outsmart those animals, which I think that's where I get a lot of the thrill of it. But from that, I've gotten pretty good at knowing how to read them and how to get in their heads and outsmart them and get in their home and make it happen. It's made me a lot better hunter that way, which I definitely want to focus today on a lot of that. We're going to get a little serious for a little while, do a little education segment here. So the first thing I want to talk about is definitely the hunting the big woods versus the cropland property. And it's totally different aspect. I'll wrap it all up together with a few points. You know, it's a different ball game when you're hunting the big woods. You get out there and there's no man-made food. It's all natural occurring plants and vegetation and trees and fruits and berries and such. And there's not that that crop production to bring the food in for those deer. It's a lot different. You gotta focus mainly on topography and you know, hill changes. If you're hunting the big woods in the flat areas, that's tough. You're just gonna have to look for the succession stages of the woods can help a lot. You know, you get your edges with your different vegetation. You have your hardwoods and you've got your evergreen thickets, you know, whether it be cedars or pines or whatever you have in your area. But and then you've got some thicker areas outside of your hardwoods. So, you know, our property, we've got a lot of pines, a lot of cedars, about half of it's hardwoods. And then there's also, obviously, the logged areas have brought in another successional stage there with a thicker understory, less mature trees. And then that actually butts up to a clear cut that was done, I don't know, 25 years ago, which now is actually turning into a huntable stand of ground. You know, if you don't have the topography, you don't have the hills and such to hunt on, you know, use your edges and your changes in your stands to find that travel point. And the biggest thing is, I talk about topography being insanely important in Indiana, and I guess that's partial to me. I do a lot of hunting in Brown County, you know, Brown County, Bartholomew County, that southern central Indiana region is so heavily wooded and hilly. It's like a little mini mountains. And we focus a lot on pinch points from topography. You know, two hills come together and they're just like a mountain on one side. And a deer, if you know anything about deer, those bad boys can go up and down, it seems like, anything. But when you've got a steep hill and then you've got two points that come down, there's an easy crossing point, they're going to cross there. Especially if they have a reason to travel through there. Even if they don't, they're going to cross in those pinch points. And you find those points to set up on them, you're going to kill some deer. Our property has a lot of areas like that where the deer like I said, they could travel, especially in a nervous situation. They could travel in a lot of different areas, but on their standard, you know, headed from the bed to the food, they're traveling those spots, and pinch points are so important. So if you do have land with a lot of hilly area or, you know, aggressive terrain, definitely try to search for those pinch points. I like to think of deer similar, especially deer travel, similar to electricity, and that's that they'll follow the path of least resistance. I taught a FFA team here in town. There's a competition called WHEP, W-H-E-P, and that's Wildlife Habitat Evaluation Program. And I coached that for a few, I competed in it in high school, but I coached that for a few years, and we actually won nationals, which is another story. That was awesome. I do have one of my past students looking to come on my show here soon, so that'll be exciting. But one of the things I taught them a lot is how animals tend to use the path of least resistance, similar to electricity, which I think really could go across the board in all the animal kingdom. I think people do the same thing. But when it comes to hunting and it comes to finding that good location, that point of least resistance or that path of least resistance is the place to be. I mean, if there's a big fence and there's a hole in it, the deer are going to cross there. If there's a super big creek and there's a shallow area, the deer are going to cross there. If there's some massive hill and at the end or in the middle of the hill, it has a a less aggressive hill, the deer are going to travel there. It's something you got to look at. And then, like I said, without hillsides, you know, an edge between a clear cut and a pine grove, they're going to travel that edge. They're going to travel a little bit on the thicker side of it. If you have a wide open virgin hardwood stand and you have a clear cut, they're obviously going to travel closer to that clear cut, but there's a chance that there's a good food source in that open hardwoods, you know, acorns, that's where your big oaks are. So they're going to travel that edge for their, you know, protection, but they're going to get into it. Now, obviously, when you get into the cropland hunting, things can get a little different. They're still going to follow that path of least resistance. You know, the place we hunt, we got a cornfield and there's an old fence all the way around it. I mean, it's really old. It's all beat down. But those places where the fence is completely tore down or, you know, on the ground or it's rusted in two, that's where the deer travel. And then you combine that with a little bit of hilly terrain and you find your pinch points, you know, okay, I got a hole in the fence and I've got a hillside here that's fairly gradual compared to that steep hillside. And it comes straight out the food. That's where they're going to travel. Another thing I want to touch on is deer. All animals need it, deer included. They need three things, and I think all of us know this, but I want to reiterate it. They need food, they need water, and they need shelter. Food, it could be, you know, natural food source, naturally occurring, your oak trees, your persimmon trees, your fruit trees, your nut trees, all those natural occurring foods, super important, especially in the wooded areas. They could be man-made, whether that be crops, corn, soybeans, hay fields, whatever it may be. And they could also be, you know, a food plot, planting a food plot, man-made source. Food plots are, I feel like they've really become a bigger thing in the last few years, probably longer than the last few years, but food plots are really taken off. I know the guys at Mossy Oak have some incredible products. No, I'm not sponsored by them. Again, never had any contact with them, but from doing a lot of research, those guys have got some good stuff. The food plots we planted, we went over to the local co-op, had them mix up some stuff for us, and we had pretty good results. Nothing incredible, but I like doing it. It's a good time. I didn't get any out this year, but I'd love to in the future. And then the other source of food, which is a topic that I am choosing not to get too deep into, obviously is illegal in the state of Indiana, but I know it's legal in some states and all our viewers are not from Indiana. And in fact, I'm going to look real quick. We've got a pretty impressive list of listeners that I'd like to throw in here. I'm going to go over to my stats real quick. I was actually impressive. We've got viewers in other countries, which shout out to whoever my viewer is from Germany. I have had one viewer that has consistently listened to every episode, and they're from Germany, and I'm impressed. Whoever you are, props to you. I thank you greatly. Oh, we actually got two listeners from Japan today, or total. How about that? Wherever you are from in Japan, that's not showing me. Thank you as well. Greatly appreciated. I've got viewers all over the place. And from the great old United States, we have 155 cities that we have had listeners from a lot from Indiana, Kentucky, Georgia, Florida. Shout out to my buddy in Florida. He's an avid listener. We've got listeners from New York, Ohio, Illinois, Washington, D.C., California, Utah, Wisconsin, Oregon. Shout out to my sister in Oregon. She's probably my listener from there. Thank you, sis. Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan. Man, that's incredible. Lots of cities, lots of states. Anyways, sorry to get off topic there. I know there's listeners in other states. So another form of a food source would, of course, be baiting. I'm not going to get into that topic, mainly because I'm not educated on it. I don't hunt in any states where baiting is legal. I choose to have a personal opinion on it, but I've not done it. So, I talked to my buddy out of Florida, and he hunts in a few different states, and some states were putting out some baits legal, and he's like, hey, it's legal. Everybody's doing it. Why not? I'm like, well, you've got a good point. It's not legal here. I'm not going to mess with it. I've got a family and stuff. I don't have time to be doing that illegal stuff, and I'm not really going to get into the topic because, once again, not educated on it. The next thing necessary is water source, obviously. You got ponds, creeks, lakes, such and such. Those are extremely important. I know, on the hotter days, a lot of guys like to hunt near a water source. I like hunting near creeks. It's definitely a good opportunity for some deer. And the final thing is shelter, bedding areas, which deer tend to bed. Deer like to bed usually near their food source. That's a well-known thing. And they're creatures of habit. Deer tend, statistically proven, deer tend to bed in the same place or the same general area over and over and over, which is one reason I really like to stay away from bedding areas. There's some guys that talk about going in and bumping them out of their bedding area, catching them coming back in. I'm not confident enough in that strategy. I'm not confident enough to go in and bump deer out of their bedding area on purpose. I have snuck up on some bedding areas that I didn't realize were bedding areas and jumped some deer out. It happens. We all make mistakes, or we've all jumped deer out. If that happens to be their bedding area and I don't know about it, there's nothing I can do about it. One property we hunt, we have an area that we know deer have always bedded down in there. We stay out of it. We've only been in there once or twice, and that's when we've had to go in there to get deer out that we've shot. I like to stay out of their bedding areas. Main reason is the deer are always aware. I did some extra research on bedding areas and bedding deer, and deer have a unique ability to be constantly aware. They're always paying attention even when they're sleeping. And they can easily get right up and take off in one breath. And that's pretty crazy. I mean, I don't think I've ever actually seen a sleeping deer. If you have, shoot me an email. I want to hear your story, because I've never, in person, seen a sleeping deer. I've definitely jumped them up, but I've never seen one actually sleeping. So, their shelters are, it seems, they're pretty much creatures of habit, being close to food. If there's a heavy food source, there's a constant food source, definitely check around there. Find your pinch point there. Find your travel paths. Find deer tracks, deer trails. Find, any sign of them traveling to and from the food. That's where you need to set up. Get set up in between them. And then if you have a point where they're traveling, food to water, food to shelter, water to shelter, or all three in one place, that's where you're going to lay the hammer down. That's going to be the smackdown point. I always love to find those travel points. I think that's crucial. I think a lot of people do get lucky just kind of setting up randomly. But those travel points, that's where you get to hunt consistent deer. I'm not privileged enough to have... we do have one box blind we built. It's kind of like a little... It's not a redneck brand blind, but it's a redneck blind. But we killed a couple deer out of it last year, and that's our only box blind. Other than that, we pretty much are all out in the open in the stands. I had a pop-up blind, but let somebody borrow it, and it got left out a little too long, got some deep snow on it, and it's pretty much, it's junk. So I don't have a blind anymore. I like to get another one. I've never been really big into blind hunting besides making my, I really enjoy making natural blinds, especially early season like this where I'm up in a tree and you know, get down for a little part during the day, quietly build a little natural blind, find a log to sit on. Especially, I like to do it during gun season too, or I build them for gun season, or I just build them during gun season. You get that quiet time during the day, you know, after lunch, before that late day golden hour. I love to get out there and do a little moving around, stretching. You know, I'm not trying to get out there and walk the whole woods and spread my scent. I don't stalk hunt very often. I do it, especially on those wet days. You can get around, you know, be all sneaky. Those days, I do love to stalk hunt, but not my normal form of hunting. So with that said, all those things need to be available on or near your property, which with deer, it seems around Indiana, there's not enough like massive properties to always have all those things on your property, but that doesn't mean you don't have a travel path. Those are the things that you got to have for deer to live on your property. You want deer staying on your property, you got to have those things. If you don't have food, you know, plant a food plot, plant some trees. There's places all over the place you can get some good trees. Now, it's going to take some time before they grow up and they're viable and producing fruit or, you know, nuts, but it's definitely a long-term outlook. It's a good possibility or good practice to provide good trees and a good variety of trees, and hopefully trees that'll spread throughout your properties. That, food plots. Food plots are a great time, like I said. Make sure you keep all those things in mind. You keep all those three parts in mind when you're hunting deer, and I think you're going to be a lot more successful, especially for you newer guys. Or if you're going into a piece of public ground that you've never been on, look for those things. Look for travel routes. Look for food. Look for water. You're doing a little scouting. Look for bedding areas. You know, maybe in the summertime, they're probably going to get a little more open areas, a little more vantage points, especially in this early season where it's still a little bit warmer. But when it gets into that cooler days, they're going to start getting into some thicker areas to bed down. And on our property, we, you know, normally deer kind of bed on a higher end of the ground, but on our property, we've got this area and it's a really low area, but it's got some good undergrowth, not really like briar thick, but good grassy undergrowth. And man, they stay there all the time. We set up on the outside of it, catch them coming to food, find that path of least resistance. Like I talked about, see, I told you I'd tie it all in, find that and get back into it. So that's where we like to set up. That's the best place. I think you'd be successful across the board setting up in spots like that. Always find your pinch points, and that term I use loosely because, like I said, I've stated about, I don't know, 10 different types of pinch points across the board. With that, I'm going to take a few minute break, get a little bit of a drink, take a breather, and when we come back, I do have a new little segment I'm going to try to throw in more often, and that's like a fun fact section. I'm going to try to throw that in a little bit, and I do have a new segment tonight. A very special guest. My daughter, my four-year-old, is going to come on for a little joke segment. She's going to start doing whenever. She begs me every day, "Dad, when do I get to be on the podcast?" So we're going to bring her in tonight for a little joke section. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, guys, on our break, I wanted to pitch a little something. I want you all to get on Instagram and give us a follow. Also, don't forget to send us an email, huntinggamepodcast@gmail.com, huntinggamepodcast@gmail.com. Get on there, shoot us an email, tell us how we're doing, tell us things you want to talk about. I'd love to hear from you guys. Even if I don't know you, I'd love to get you as a guest on the show. This is about bringing us all together. Shoot us an email. Let's talk. Let's chat. Let's cover some gaps. I want to talk to you guys, hear what you guys want to talk about or things you want to learn. Like I said, my guest list is impressively long, so I'm going to have some incredible knowledge on here. So don't be afraid to shoot us an email, or hey, just say, hey, how's it going? You guys are doing good. You guys are doing terrible. Don't do that. I know I say that a lot, but huntinggamepodcast@gmail.com. We are on Spotify. Make sure you follow us on Spotify. Hit that follow button, subscribe, hit the little bell so you get notified every time we have a new episode. Check us out on Apple Podcasts. Please leave a good review. Whether you just leave some stars, give us a rating, give us a review, that will help us tremendously and will help our show grow so much. So thank you all for being here, and we'll be back in a minute. All right, guys, we're back. Thanks for sticking around. I did a little short segment there. My break was a little longer than yours. I went and had me a delicious bowl of chili. I got home from work today and my wife said, which I've been trying to make chili for months. I'm a year-round chili eater, in my opinion. It definitely hits different when it gets a little cooler. So it was kind of a nasty rainy day. I got home from work and my wife says, hey, you want to make chili tonight? Yeah. Of course I want to make chili. I just had a couple big old bowls of chili, and that is so good. I love a good bowl of chili, especially with our homemade tomato juice we make out of the garden every year. That really tops it off. It's actually, my dad actually makes it. It's like a Bloody Mary mix. It makes an incredible chili base. I also want to put it out there. This is one I want to get some emails back on this one, or some comments through the email. Noodles go in chili. I love noodles in my chili. Some people say, oh, well, that's not chili. That's chili mac. Well, hey, this is Indiana-style chili. That's the way I was raised, and I like noodles in my chili. So if you don't like it, you should probably try it because it's delicious. So put your noodles in your chili, boys. I like chili without noodles, too. I feel like the noodles are just a little bit more, you know, fill you up, keep you warm. That was a long rant on chili. You guys, we should share chili. Actually, no. You know, I don't know if I want to share my chili recipe. I make a killer chili. I get that from my daddy. My dad always made great chili growing up. My mom made good chili, too. But my dad always did a big old pot of deer chili, especially. And we used to, when we had deer camp, we'd make a big old pot of chili and leave it sitting on the fire all day, kind of slow cooking. Oh, my goodness. That's why I'm a little bit chunky, because I love my food. I love my fire-cooked food, too. That deer season chili, when it's real cold out, you come in, have a nice warm bowl of chili, wrap up the day, sit around the fire, chat about how the day went. Man, that hits different. That chili tonight hit different, too. It's been so long. I've missed you, chili. All right, that was a little bit weird. I got a little too intense on the chili there, but I think maybe I need to go in and have another bowl when I get done with this. So yeah, shoot me an email. Do noodles go in chili? I say yes, although I'm not going to turn down a bowl of chili if it has noodles or not. All right, well, let's get into that fun fact about deer. While I was doing a little bit of research on shelter, you know, I wanted to touch it up. I may not be a genius. I know quite a bit about this stuff. I actually studied conservation biology and field ecology in college, did a lot of studying on it, and with coaching the wildlife team at my local high school, I learned even more about it. But I like to try to brush up my topics before I talk about them, you know. I'm not trying to be out here feeding false information to anybody, which is, again, why I believe noodles go in chili. So I've done my research with my own mouth. I was a little upset. I did have a run-in with the COVID back in March, and my taste is back about 75%, but I still haven't got my smell back. Hardly. My smell is messed up. Like, I can smell fruity stuff, but I can't smell, like, I couldn't really smell the chili. It was kind of sad. It made me upset. Sorry. Rant again about chili. My fun fact, and that is deer usually only sleep for 5 to 10 minutes at a time. That's crazy that an animal of that size and that much brain power and that intelligence only sleeps for 5 to 10 minutes at a time. Now, there has been some documented times that on trail cameras that deer have been caught sleeping up to 20 minutes. But I know for a fact I can't run on 20 minutes of sleep. Don't get me wrong, I've done it, especially during deer season or tournament fishing season. But to live on that amount of sleep. Now, I didn't really research how many times a day they do those little snoozes. They don't ever sleep. Like, they don't sleep all day or sleep all night. That's crazy. I thought that was a fun little fact. With that being said, I think it's time we get into a little hunting story. I'm sitting here looking at the picture of my buck, my trophy buck, my biggest buck. An absolute tank. He was local to my house. I'm not going to say any locations because I don't want you guys sneaking in on my hunting properties. I'm a nice guy and I like to share, but I got some little secret honey holes. Anyways, fun fact, I always tell everybody I killed it on public ground. It's more fun that way, you know? can't be telling hunting stories if you don't, you know, squeeze it a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. This one's all true. Me and my dad have always had a tradition on going hunting on Thanksgiving morning. We always go and go get breakfast in the morning, and we get out there really, usually super early on Thanksgiving morning, but go out and hunt till about 11 o'clock. We always got to be at grandma's by one for Thanksgiving, you know, dinner. I don't want to, it's not brunch. It's not lunch. It's not supper, not dinner. You know, it's right there in between 1 o'clock, Thanksgiving dinner, I'm going to call it. But we've always got to be there at 1 o'clock. So we try to get out of the woods by 11. You know, if we shoot anything a little past that, it's going to make us late. And nobody wants to upset grandma. You got to be there on time to eat that delicious turkey meal. We headed out there. Dad actually got his buck that year. The opening day of gun season that year, me and a couple of buddies went in, and as a thank you for, we always hung out in Dad's barn. We'd be out there till 3 o'clock in the morning, burning his wood and using his electricity, playing cards and hanging out. And so as a thank you, one year we all kind of pitched in, me and a couple buddies, and bought Dad a new 30-30 Marlin. So he took that thing out for the first time, lever action 30-30, which my dad was always kind of anti-rifle, but when they started allowing rifles in Indiana, he's like, well, I try. We put feelers out for a while. You're like, you know, if you were to own a rifle, you know, like a lever action rifle, like, would you want 44, you know, 3, you know, 30-30? Would you rather have a high power rifle like 30-06? And he's like, you know, I always thought it'd be super cool to have a 30-30. Got him. So me and the guys pitched in. We got Dad a new lever action 30-30. Opening day that year, I mean, it was like 15 minutes after legal shooting at light. Pow! My buddy Jake immediately texts me. He's like, that was Dad. That was a rifle. That was for sure a rifle. So it wasn't 15 minutes later, Dad sends us a picture, selfie game with his buck. Nice one. I mean, it was a really nice buck. Nice mainframe 10. So fast forward to Thanksgiving a couple weeks later, we're out there hunting a river bottom property, and which we only get to hunt like once or twice a year. We're out there hunting, and it got later in the morning, and I was standing up. I could see the river from where I was standing. I was just hanging out, relaxing, just beautiful view, just taking it in. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, I wonder what time it is. I haven't checked my phone in like a couple hours. So I slide my phone out of my pocket, and I have a text from my dad. And he said, saw biggin. And I'm like, okay. So I was like, well, you know, me and Dad were hunting probably like 250 yards apart. There's like two island fields, like the cornfield is an island. So opposite of what you would normally think of an island, but it's like they're surrounded by woods. And there's two separate ones. We each hunt one, like 250 yards apart. And there's a section of woods about, I don't know, 40 yards wide that separates the two. So many, many, many times he's on a creek crossing, the deer will cross, go by him, go right up that middle. I never see him. His buck tag's already filled. He can't shoot a buck. I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, I guess I'll get sat down, you know, get set up. Maybe by chance this deer is going to come out in the field. But I looked at the time again. I'm like, well, it's been like 15 minutes since Dad texted me. So he's probably turned, went up the woods, skirted me, never saw him, never heard him, never anything. I went ahead and sat there. Another like 5 minutes goes by. I'm like, yeah, this thing's gone. About that time, there was some tall grass like to my left, like in front. I had a seat set up and a blind set up, a natural blind underneath this big, like, I don't know. It wasn't an apple tree, but it had the same canopy style of an apple tree. You know, it kind of sways down. Swoops down, droopy. I had a natural blind in there, so I'm sitting there. I'm about 20 yards off field edge, and all of a sudden, antlers. That's all I see, antlers. I'm not going to lie. I accidentally out loud said, holy shoot, which I used the other word, but I choose not to use any curse words on my podcast. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just said that out loud. So immediately, buck fever kicks in. I'm shaking. This thing's like 25 yards away. Biggest deer I've ever seen in the woods. Absolute tank, out past his ears. Clearly an old buck. He's got little kickers on his antlers. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing's a giant. I said, okay, stay calm, deep breath, get set up, get on him. I get on him and I'm like, okay, five more steps and he's in the open field. And then I thought to myself, screw that. this dude could turn right now and walk out of my life, and I would have passed up a 25-yard shot through some grass. Now, I'm not shooting through grass. He's just in grass. Like, his shoulders, his body line are above the grass. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm taking the shot. So I get steady, braced up, get on him, let the old 20-gauge rip. He jumps up, takes off in that field. I stay on him. I crank my scope up. He gets about halfway across the field, and he stops. And I look, and I see blood running down. Perfect shot. Double lung. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Then he runs. I thought he was going to do his little wobble and tumble, you know, right there. And he takes off running again. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, that's kind of odd. So I sit down. I'm like, all right, I just need to take in what just happened here. I got to shaking so bad. I mean, my hands started going numb. Like, I'm getting, my face is like clearly flushed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to pass out. I've killed quite a few deer, and this deer right here is, it's going to take me out. I'm going to pass out. So I reach down to my pack. I grab out a bottle of water, and I start chugging water. I'm like, okay, I got to keep myself going here because I am struck right now. I've got the buck fever worse than I've ever had in my life, and I need to stay focused. Immediately, I grab my phone. I'm getting ready to text Dad, and I look at my phone, and it says, heck yeah, heck yeah, 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 yeah. I know you got him. You got him, didn't you? And I was like, oh my gosh. So I text him back. I'm like, big buck down. You know, BBD, baby, BBD, big buck down. He's like, all right, you know, did it crash in the field? What happened? Where'd it go? I was like, well, it went across. It went to the edge of the field. I saw it go down. He's like, all right, well, do not rush it. He's like, we got plenty of time. It's like 10 o'clock. He's like, just take your time. Let's just sit here, chill out, not worry about it. Let things calm down. Let him get laid down. Let him pass, and then we'll go look for him. I was like, all right, cool. I'm not kidding. Like 10 minutes go by, 10, 15 minutes, and I text him. I'm like, I got to go check for blood. He's like, okay, just don't go tracking. I'm like, I can't stand it. I've got to go check for blood. So I get out of my blind. I walk up, sure enough, 25 yards, great blood on the ground. I'm like, oh yeah, smoked him. I was, okay, get back in my blind. I was going to go ahead and, you know, eat me a snack, drink me some more water, prep myself for this probably going to be a rough drag. So I let like almost an hour go by. I'm like, all right, I can't stand it. I got to go get this deer. So I walk out where I shot him. I get on blood. I followed. I get out to the middle of the field where he stopped, and there's just massive puddle of blood. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. He's right on the edge of this field. Problem is, just about 10, 15 yards on the edge of this field is the property line, which we had permission to go track on, but we don't have permission to hunt on, really be on. And I know that there's guys that hunt over there, and I'm not trying to ruin their hunt. I'm like, okay, hopefully he's just on the edge of the field. I go to the edge of the field. You know, I've got good blood the whole way there. I get the edge of the field, and he's not laying there. It's a 6-foot, like, downhill drop to the creek bottom, and he's not there. I'm like, oh, no. I follow it down, and it goes straight to the creek. Now, this is a pretty good size. I call it, like, it's called a creek, but it's a river. So I walk up and I'm like, oh man, he's jumped in this creek. I'm like, I'm going to have to go swimming to get this deer out, but I'm going to do it. I am willing. We're leaving anyways. I'll get soaking wet. I'll go swimming for this deer. I'm like, hold on a minute. Let me rethink this. I back up. Well, turns out he went to the river, doubled back, and then he turned. So I get on blood. I follow him. Finally, I walk up on this dude and he's laying there. Got his rack like half buried in the ground. He's done. He's expired. And this dude is just a giant, bigger than I thought when I got to him. I'm ecstatic. Let me note, when I gutted this deer, both lungs were completely collapsed. I made a beautiful double lung shot. And this old buck, which they aged him at like 6.5, 7.5 years old. So he's probably past his prime. But this big buck in the full rut was running on pure adrenaline. He went 350 yards with no lungs. Fortunately, it was across the field. And I guess I should note, he did not leave the property. Where he went to the creek and doubled back and turned, he actually turned back onto the property. So we got real lucky there. I get to this thing. I immediately start taking pictures. You know, I'm sitting on him, taking pictures, holding his rack up. And I'm just ecstatic, taking selfies, setting my phone up, and I'm like, all right, screw it. I'm going to drag this thing out in the field right now. I'm like 40 yards off the field. I'm like, I'm going to grab his antlers. I'm going to take him out of the field. We'll field dress him out there and be done. I grabbed a hold of this dude's antlers and yank. And I am not a small guy. I'm like 6'2", 240 and stout. And I grab this deer and yank and barely move the thing. I'm like, all right, we're going to wait for dad to help me get this thing drug out. And so I went ahead and got her field dressed and, we ended up getting it close to the field edge to where we could get the four-wheeler in, backed the four-wheeler up there, loaded him up, and headed out. And it was funny. We got to the truck. We took all the pictures. We got to the truck and put him in the bed. The way he was sitting in the bed of the truck, the antlers, you know, sticking up above it. And dad says, hey, you think we ought to go to the gas station and get something to drink? I'm like, you know, I'm not really thirsty. He's like, hey, you think we ought to go to the gas station and get something to drink? And I was like, oh. You're right. I think we do need to go into town instead of taking back roads all the way home. Let's take this into town. And I'm not kidding. I had like six people come up to me at the gas station. Holy moly, man, that thing's a giant. That thing's a stud. I couldn't hardly fit my head back in the truck after that. That's my giant story. I feel bad, but I kind of outdid my dad's biggest deer by, now this is gross. But I ended up outdoing my dad's best deer by about 10 inches. So, sorry, Dad. You taught me too well. You raised a good one, Pops. So, that's my giant story. That one's going to be a hard one to top. Definitely going to be a hard one to top. That was in 2017. We're going on year. I ended up putting another one on the wall the next year. Another, not quite the size of that one, but we're talking like 15 inches smaller gross antler size. So another tank. I hope to top that one day. I'm going to keep hunting. I'm going to keep giving my all. I've still got another, like, I don't know, 50, 60 years of good hunting in me for sure before I even start to think about slowing down. I got some time in the woods to put in. I hope that was a good story. I love telling that story. That was a moment that was hard to ever, I mean, I won't ever forget that one. Every single aspect of it, I can still feel it. That was a day to write down. I'll never forget it. I got pictures of that deer everywhere. In fact, I got my two mounters side by side right in front of my big TV in the living room. My wife wasn't too sure what to think about that when we moved to get in together, but I told her it wasn't a discussable option. The tanks go in the living room for everybody to see. With that being said, hey, why don't we move into the little... let's move into pear joke section. Let me go get it real quick. We'll be right back. All right. We're back with the special guest of the night. My beautiful 4-year-old daughter, Peregrine, has got a joke for us. So we're going to call this Pear's joke segment. So, Pear, you got a deer hunting joke for us? Can you say hi to everybody first?
Hi.
All right. What do you got? Tell us a good deer hunting joke.
What does a deer say when it crosses the road?
What does a deer say when it crosses the road? I don't know. What's it say?
It says moo.
Moo? It's a deer. Where did you hear that joke?
I don't know.
Oh, your imaginary friend told you that joke? You got any other jokes for us?
I got one.
You got a knock-knock joke?
Yes.
All right, tell us your knock-knock. Who's there?
Joe
who?
Joe Banana.
Joe Banana? You're crazy. All right. We'll keep working on some more jokes for next week, all right? Mm-hmm. I love you. All right. She's got some interesting jokes for sure. She makes them all up herself. She's like a little comedian. Those are two jokes I've never heard before, so those are new. All right. Well, with that being said, we're out of time. We're going to go to our Bible verse. This week, I decided just to go with my favorite Bible verse. I can't deny that this one has always been my favorite. I know it's a lot of people's favorite, but something about it is just so good. So this week, we're going to go to Joshua 1:9, NIV version, of course. And that says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. And do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Remember that out there, guys. When you get out there, don't be afraid. You know, I see a lot of people talking about walking out there in the dark. Don't be scared of it. God's with you. With everything you face in life, all the challenges you face, any struggles you face, whether that be sickness or problems going on, you know, maybe with the family, maybe in life in general, don't be afraid, guys. Pray about it. God can handle everything you put in front of him. God knows what's going to happen next, and God has a plan for you, a great plan. Don't forget it. Pray about everything. Pray to him every night. I don't go to bed without saying my prayers every night. So be strong out there, guys. Be good to people. Be good to each other. Support each other. Get out there. Love it. Live it. Be safe. Praise God and enjoy it. With that being said, we'll see you next week, guys. Have a good one. Thanks for joining us on the Hunt and Game Podcast. We hope to see you back next week for another exciting episode. In the meantime, get out there. Enjoy the great outdoors. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another show. God bless you all. Have a great week. We're out.